Welcome, after a bit of a gap, to another episode of the Mumbrella Cast. I'm Tim Burrows. In this episode, I interview Nova Sydney's breakfast presenters, Ryan Fitzy Fitzgerald and Michael Whipper Whipfley, or Fitzy and Whipper, as you might otherwise know them. Now, this first ran as a live video Google Hangout on the Mumbrella website, but the chat is also worth hearing here on the Mumbrella Cast. Now, Fitzy and Whipper have spent 3 years presenting together now and shared with us some of their more difficult interviewees, their tips for breaking into radio, their thoughts on the whole radio landscape after Today FM's disastrous royal phone prank. Here we go. Welcome to the latest Mumbrella Google Hangout, first one of the year. I'm Tim Burrows. Joining me today, Fitzy and Whipper from Nova. Guys, welcome.
Hi. Good to be here.
No, I was doing my research 2 years ago today. You started the breakfast show.
Oh, mate, more to the point, we are the celebrations. I mean, there's no champagne here. I know Home and Away is celebrating 25 years today.
Yeah.
23 for us to go, we hit that point. But besides that, mate, we're cruising through it.
We're still in the honeymoon period, Tim. 2 years. We get along very well. I don't know how long that's going to last. We're just getting married this year, so I could lose him forever.
Now, you moved over from Drive. Yep. There are some obvious differences. Are just the pressure's more for breakfast because the stakes are higher?
When the stakes are high, yeah, you do realise that it's a more competitive time slot. And that was just the nature of that slot at the time, because things are always changing. And you know what, if we'd been in Drive at Hamish and Andy was still there, you could say that about that time slot. But you know, you just take it for what it is. And the funny thing is, I know the show's a little slightly different, you know, if you compare Drive to breakfast, but at the same time, it doesn't change, you know, your work ethic or how you handle things or what you aim to do.
Well, in the industry, breakfast is seen as the show that sets up your radio station for the rest of the day. So I suppose there is a bit more pressure, and we're up against the juggernaut, you know. We're up against a team that's been...
He's not that large, is he?
Whipper or...
If we just say Colin Jackie O,
yes,
as a unit, as a station, and we leave Wade out of it because I'm a bit tired of that to me as well.
Well, they've been dominant for so long, so there is a bit more pressure on us when the ratings go down. Paul Jackson, if you're watching this, just leave us alone. There is a bit more pressure, but we love the challenge. We're really enjoying what we're doing.
Now, you had a bit of progress last year. There were a couple of trips where you were up to second, sort of jointly.
Equal second.
That was with Jonesy and Amanda in the Sydney market. What's your sense for this year? How do you kind of keep the momentum going?
Well, I mean, we were excited. When we look back on what we did last year, and there were some highlights, and, you know, it's a bit of a slippery sausage. We had some, you know, some great traction with, you know, some of our parodies. You know, thinking back about what we did, you know, we had a great moment sitting in the studio and we got a tweet from, you know, Rove in LA, who had opened the LA Times, and there was a picture of Fitzy and I with Dangy on Bondi Beach, the world's shortest man. So all these little things, you know, drive you to do more and want to make it a pretty interesting year again.
Yeah, our main focus is entertaining people on the way to work, but we also like to do stuff that's a bit outside the square, that when people go to work, they talk about it. You know, because, I mean, radio is, you know, a lot of radio shows just do the talk back where they'll do a phone topic and they'll get people on and they'll interact with their listeners. And we love doing that as well because we have great listeners, but we also like to do the stuff where people go, wow, did you hear what they did this morning or the song that they did? Or so we're always trying to look for that next idea.
Well, that's the sort of, I guess, one of the balances as well. It is, you know, you talk to someone, you mentioned Paul Jackson, pronoun controller. Mm. He's, you know, he's mentioned to me in the past that one of your strengths is how you kind of talk to the listeners when you get them on air. I guess it's finding the right issues to talk to them about, to chat to them.
100%. And whether it's topical or something that, you know, is relatable, and that's where it comes down to the balance. And that's what, you know, Tommy the Oboe, Russell Brown, the producer, you know, that's part of his role, is finding the balance and making sure that we're on top of everything. And that we've got, you know, the stuff that they're just talking about.
I think Australians as well relate to that self-deprecating sort of style that we like to do with ourselves. And, you know, there's a lot of, I think in Australia as well, we bring down a lot of people that pump themselves up a bit. So we try to stay totally away from that. We feel more comfortable when we're, paying each other out about his waving my baldness.
Besides the segment we did this morning, to be called Stuff the King, where I was the king, the rest of it.
I heard the segment and it went backwards. I think both are in their good stores.
Unfortunately, the king and the person playing this morning to stump themselves. We have no idea what the answer is.
Most of his ideas are going back these days. Yeah. I'm glad you pointed that out.
Now, also joining us on the Hangout is Kathy, who's monitoring the social media. So if you do want to either throw in a question via the Umbrella homepage or via the hashtag AskFitsyWhipper, then please do. Kathy, let's take a question from you if we can.
So one question is, any tips for someone doing regional FM to break into the city market?
Oh, okay. Well, this is probably, I've copped a bit of stick over this one because a lot of people have a go at me because I went from a fallen football tragic to going into
the Brother House,
to going into reality television. So I was blessed to get an opportunity, first of all. But Whippy, you did a bit of reading.
Yeah, I did. I went to a place called town called Port Augusta in South Australia. I was there for about 18 months. And it, just the importance of the experience. And if you do the regional stuff, which you know, the person obviously asking the question is doing, you can gain the experience. And because you're in a situation where you can keep putting together demo tapes, you know that a lot of the program directors in each city are very accessible, just keep putting them together and sending them off.
And a lot of people seem to come up through the promotions teams as well.
Yeah, they do.
Is that still
it's
that
a great in? It's a great in because you've got all this, you've got so many hours at night time where it's just music and the station's just running by itself. If you want to be a program director for, you know, a mid-dawn time slot, just to trial yourself at somewhere else or whatever you want to do.
Promotions. And then that leads on to sexual favours with the the program director, and then you work.
No, I was married, so we can't make the.
That's never stopped pants before.
Can't make the joke.
Oops, sorry,
sorry.
Watch this. Is that on?
Shout out to Shannon as well.
Sorry.
No, I've read recently Carl Sanderlin's autobiography. He talks a lot about the media series. I don't think I knew him that much better at the end of it, to be honest.
But he reveals so much about himself on radio, so you already know.
It's like watching The Passion of the Christ.
It's clear he was ghosted by, Bruno Boucher has talked a lot about how he kind of ghosted him. I actually thought the story was better told in his kind of regional days, and also you're kind of rooting from there.
Yes.
As the kind of underdog. Yes. I guess once you made national radio, you kind of made it, really.
Yeah. Well, you know everything about his life. Mm. I mean, if it's not him telling you on the radio, it's usually in the paper the next day. So, there wouldn't be too much stuff that Kyle could say that people would go, I didn't know about that, or I was shocked.
I suppose that thing about sharing it like that, that's one of the things I'm quite interested about because, you talked about relatability, that sense that the audience has got to relate to you in some way.
Yeah.
You guys have to... or choose to share a lot about yourself, whether it's, crying for children, expecting, congratulations, getting engaged, congratulations, all of these things. Do you actually get to keep some personal stuff back as well?
Yeah, because you've got a lot of stuff you just can't talk about because it's inappropriate on the radio.
But you know what? There's not much stuff that we don't, that we keep to ourselves.
Yeah, Mark, it's like the other day, Lisa, my fiance, was on the radio over something, and the conversation ended with, it was to do with texting and lying in bed on the phone. The conversation ended with her on the phone on the show saying, well, then I tried to roll on top of him to get things going, but unfortunately, you had diarrhea. It's just one of those, and it can happen sometimes. Too many berries will bring on that. But, that was a moment where I went, oh, God, we're giving a lot up. I don't think anyone needs to know that. I don't think.
My policy is ask first and then you're allowed to talk about it. If she says no, we're not allowed to talk about it. So I always ask my wife first. My other wife I don't really worry about. She just lets me do what I want to. But
and obviously you've got a young kid as well. Do you ever think, because he's been a big part of it, so do you ever think he'll come back in future years and say, what were you doing invading my privacy?
Well, I'm a little bit worried about him because I recently hosted for an AFL football team, the LA Crows. We had their big Christmas carols night. There was 1,000 people there and I MC got up on the mic and he wouldn't leave the side of stage. So he always wanted to be up there with me and on the mic. And at the end of it, I said, did you see the footballers, the big muscly footballers? Do you want to be one of them when you get older? And he just looked at me and said, no, Daddy, I want the mic. So he's got the confidence already to.
Because it feels strange, though, Timmy. I mean, you've got total control over what you say.
Yep.
But for him not understanding
seems
a bit unfair because I mean, there's videos that go on the website of him smearing poo all over your TV, which happened not long ago. Then, a couple of floaters at the bar. He doesn't know that's happening. So it does feel a bit wrong to play.
Yeah, and I suppose you know, the sort of serious question behind it is, you know, is giving up some of your privacy a price you have to pay to do that sort of stuff?
Definitely can't.
You know, it wouldn't work without doing so.
Yeah, I think my mum and dad know more about me from the show than in person, which they probably like or dislike.
And is that something you can ask for?
I'm fine with it. But this is why we are. This is why we are so relatable. Because these are the people. These are the topics that people are talking about every day. Relationship problems, kid problems. This is the stuff that you think's taboo and you're not allowed to talk about. But this is what's.
And you take comfort in saying something, knowing that there'll be at least one person that goes, oh.
The only thing that I worry about is that is it interesting enough? Whereas we've got the bosses go and give us more stories about your personal life. And I'm thinking to myself, no one wants to know about it because it's boring. But apparently these are the topics that people really can relate to, and it's quite powerful.
Let's take another question from Kathy, if we can, please. Kathy, what else have you got?
So Cassandra on the Nova Facebook page wants to know what you would do if you swapped lives for a day.
Oh, good question, Cassie. Thanks so much. If we swapped lives or if we had to do another job? Have I complicated the question?
You probably can't, because of the question on the page.
What was that?
If we swapped positions. So are you?
What?
Oh, sorry. I'm just putting myself in.
If I was with her for a day, I'd probably put on a pair of his running shoes that haven't seen the road for a while.
Yep.
And go for do some exercise, mate. Mm-hmm. All right. And so you'd be with my wife for a whole day.
Oh yeah, between that and getting some hair plugs or something.
Another thing I found myself sort of thinking about the show last year was, one of those regular pieces of radio is a short piece of access to us. So that, you know, they're in Sydney for a few days, international, whatever. Mm. It all feels like sometimes almost a bit of a demeaning process, you know, for the presenters, where you've got this guy who's come in and you've got to be perfectly civil to them, yeah, regardless of how they behave. And I remember thinking that the James Bond,
Daniel Craig, interesting,
and he was,
bring that up.
I read a few things about him, and clearly he was in a foul temper for the whole visit. And if you listen to you on air, it was all perfectly civil. But it just kind of came through that he was being a bit of a twat.
Yeah.
And you had to keep it civil with him. Do you ever get sort of frustrated with that sort of thing?
No, you just recognize it. I mean,
I'll do.
Frustrated, you're in a way a bit more disappointed, if anything. Daniel Craig, for instance, it almost felt like someone had to go, hey, Daniel, you're not James Bond. You're actually just a British guy. Mm. And let's have a normal conversation.
Because he took himself quite seriously.
Very seriously. And the guy wouldn't loosen up at all. But, you know, in a situation like that, I mean, I'm prepared enough to just keep firing questions to keep the whole thing flowing. But it's funny you say that because I walked out of that and I knew that at the exact same time next week I had Hugh Jackman. And I thought, what a breath of fresh air. And we had a bit of a sing-along. And, you know, that is the difference in the how people handle it. And I also feel like, you know, when Daniel Craig signed on to do this, he would have known that there was a promotional agenda attached to it. And maybe making a lot of money here, and you're good at your craft, don't get me wrong, but this is part of your job.
I don't like it, because we go into each interview and we try to do something outside the square. We like to have a lot of fun and we try to relate to the person. Now, that's our job, we get paid to do that. They're getting paid a lot of money. They get paid extra to promote a movie, or if it's a musical artist, they're coming on our show and we're promoting their album so they can sell more copies and make more money. That's the way that I look at it. So if someone comes in with attitude, I don't understand it. And my instant reaction is, if this is the way you want to be, we can wind it up right now, go and buy his album, and the interview's finished.
And is there anyone you just wouldn't have back on again?
What's that, Chris?
Chris is the PR.
Just bleeding on the couch.
Without naming names, is there anyone you really would?
There are. They're musical artists. There was one musical artist that came in and he said, you pronounced my name wrong, first of all. We did the interview, and at the end of the interview, just plainly in front of his manager, he turned and said, oh my God, I can't believe that they didn't mention anything about my new single or the album as we were there. And then the photographer goes, do you guys want a photo? And I just looked at him and went, nah.
Have we ever heard from him a while since?
No.
No, you do take it on board because it helps each other out. It's a relationship that works for
me. And who is a pleasure to work with? You mentioned Hugh Jackman.
Oh, you know what?
Hugh Jackman's amazing.
Hugh Jackman is phenomenal. I don't think they get much better than Hugh Jackman.
Guys like Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
Like just professionals. They understand, and these guys have been doing it for so long. Dave Grohl from the Foo Fighters. Every time that you have an interview with him, he understands, and he may have done 200 that day and gets the same questions, but he always brings humour and puts everything into it.
It seems like,
and you walk away going, that's why he's one of the best entertainers in the world.
It seems like the people who have been in the industry the longest are the greatest at this sort of stuff. You know, you meet like a Lionel Richie or someone like that, and he's got time for a photo with everyone in the room because, you know, he's just a real professional. It's impressive stuff.
What do you guys do when people come up and ask you autographs? Do you get it sometimes?
He charges $20.
That's my standard. $20. It's a joke. I don't take much shit anymore. We find it a bit weird.
Yeah, it must be hard to actually just be natural about it. You know,
because it's a weird
conversation to have.
Our mentality's always been is that we've been big sports fans. So when you're a kid, I remember when you went up to one of your favourite football players and asked for an autograph, how much it meant to you when they gave you a bit, sat and spoke to you and gave you an autograph and then sent you on your way. So who said it? Muhammad Ali said, never look down on someone who looks up to you.
But you're always sort of.
Let's come back to Kathy for another question, if we can, please, Kathy.
So Sandy from the Twitters wants to know if it's tough being up against such strong competition on AM and FM.
Sandy, well, Sandy, to answer the first part of the question, you know, the AM side of things aren't really our target. So in terms of the show that we have and the demographic, the type of people we, you know, design our show for, that's not really considered.
You know, I can take a chunk of Alan Jones's audience.
No, I don't think they are going anywhere. Yeah. They are there for a long time. It is. It's hard, you know. Radio is a medium that you cannot become successful overnight. You've got to be patient and work really, really hard to get to a certain point. And I mean, there's people still out there. Majority of Sydney's population have got no idea who we are. So we just got to keep getting in people's faces and doing this stuff that's talkable, and eventually people will know who we are.
Not necessarily people you're up against. Who do you really admire in terms of broadcasters?
That have been in the...
Yeah, even an hour of...
Do you know what I did the other day, Timmy? I bought 3 CDs because I had them and I've lost them. I bought them on eBay. It was Martin Malloy, Eat Your Peas, the Brown Album, and Group Show. You know, just those guys who were legends growing up. And that was 97, 98. That was back then, but...
Merrick and Rosso, they were the one reason I wanted to get into radio, and Roy and HG as well, you know. We've had so many great shows, Hamish and Andy at the moment as well, there's so many brilliant shows out there, and you get a lot of your ideas from these people.
Kathy, another question, please. Where's that?
Kathy's having a few vodkas at the desk at the moment. She started about 11 o'clock.
I think it's training when
Can you hear me?
It's
a very important question. Celine would like to know, if you could make one mythical or magical animal exist, what would it be?
Thanks so much for your question.
Celine, mythical or magical
animal?
Yeah.
Oh, God, for a person that likes their food, if I was able, like a horse or a cow or a goat, to actually eat food off the ground the entire time, that would be pretty special.
So, what do you want?
Well, if humans had the ability just to have their head in the ground to be eating the entire time.
But that's not a mythical creature.
Well, does that exist? Does the human that eats off the ground 24/7 exist?
You can get on your knees and eat something off the ground if you want.
But our natural food display is not on the ground. I don't mind a set of wings either. Well, them in as well. So I can fly off the ground to a buffet.
What magical creature would you like to
We did a segment that we loved to death. We made up 2 characters and had this regional radio show called Renegade and the Bunyip. And I would love the Bunyip to be a real creature that was on this radio show that we did.
So which one of you was which for Renegade and the Bunyip?
I was Renegade, he was the Bunyip. He was the Bunyip. We used to love doing that.
They might be returning in a different form, maybe. Hold that thought.
Kathy, we'll have another question.
Sarah would like to know, if you had to replace your co-host, who would you choose to replace them?
Anyone. Take anyone. Start tomorrow, that'd be great. Who would I like to work with, I suppose, is the... Hamish and Andy.
I'd like to do a show with Ryan Gosling.
What?
The two Ryans.
You didn't get on
blokes just talking about movies and music.
His rainbow sweater.
I thought he said Rambo sweater. So when I interviewed Ryan, I said, if you got a Rambo sweater, he's going, what are you talking about? We had to edit that out. No.
I've had Miranda Kerr want to do a show with me a few times over the past year. She's been pushing pretty hard. I kept knocking back saying we've got a big tall guy at the moment. But so down the track,
that wasn't a show. That was a court case. We had to start 200 metres away.
Now, I suppose we should talk about rating season coming up. Next week it kicks off. Postcode payday?
What's your postcode, Timmy?
I'm Mr. Urban, I'm 2000.
Okay, I'll just wait for the ball to be pulled out of the barrel, please.
Explain the concept of a postcode payday. Well, it's highly complex.
You've got to be listening, and if your postcode gets drawn out, you've got to register at the website. We drag that out, we'll read out the postcode, so if it was yours, Sydney. Right, then anybody under that postcode can call up straight away and you've got three multiple choice questions. You get them all right.
10 grand, if you don't get it right, it jackpots 10 grand every day. And then when it gets to 50,000, we'll keep pulling out postcodes and keep quizzing people until we give away the 50 grand.
So does that mean the management are putting a bit of a promotional budget behind you? Then?
Yeah,
if it doesn't go, it'll go straight into the Christmas party, which is great. So fingers crossed now I can answer the question.
And actually, yeah, so I guess promotional side of things, does it make a difference, do you think? You know, when you're, you know, when the posters are out there and that sort of thing.
Definitely, I think so. Yeah. I think, it has to work hand in hand, and the timing of promotion has to be right, but for sure.
I think it definitely does. People seem to recognise us more from our YouTube clips, though, these days, which is a good thing, which has been a good tool for us as well. But the website, at the moment, our website's the best it's ever been at the moment too, which is good, and that's taken us 2 years to get to there.
Well, let's talk about the video, because that's something that you've really worked on, you know, the parodies and everything. And I guess it's kind of come along with just as videos become more important anyway.
Yeah.
Is it about generating content for the show, or is it about bringing people, new people to the show? You know, why do you put so much effort into creating this stuff?
Yeah, because it's an easy spread. And, you know, if you can take it further than what you're doing, and you've got a free marketing tool, then absolutely, you're crazy not to, you know, stretch out and add that extra bit to it.
It's relatable stuff. I mean, this year, the top videos that we did with it was Aussie Battle Style, which was over Gangnam Style, was Call Me Maybe, which was probably the other biggest hit of the year, which everyone was singing and everyone was doing parodies for. And the other biggest thing was One Direction hit the world.
No Direction.
And we did No Direction. But it's just changing the lyrics. And I think that Australian element where we were writing lyrics that every Australian can relate to, and it's just catchy. To be honest with you, we had no idea it was going to go that well.
Last year was almost a test for what works and what doesn't work. You know, it was quite interesting because you can judge if you're doing a parody of a song, you know, you tie it into the success of the song and jump on the back of, to create your own version, and you can cover it. See what works and doesn't.
And of course, you got Opti and Charles then joining in.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, and the other big one was probably our highlight of the year is when we did Cookie Jars with Guy Sebastian. And we just asked Guy, and usually you ask, they say, no, it's too early in the morning, and you just move on. I wrote some lyrics, gave them to Guy. He said, yes, sweet man, no worries. He said, I might even ask Lupe if he wants to write some. And as we were interviewing Lupe Fiasco, without a word of a lie, we're asking him questions. He was answering us and writing lyrics down about how fat Whipple was. It was awesome. It was brilliant. And he was just writing lyrics and then just went in, recorded it, and that's how Cookie Jars came out.
And speaking of the whole issue of Whipple's Way, it's become such a shtick for the show. if you ever sort of said to yourself, oh, actually, you know, this is the year.
Oh, I say it every year, Tim. Do you know what I think?
You can't though, can you? It's one of the show.
You know what happens if we meet someone, one thing, if they've seen pictures of me, or they haven't, sorry, if they haven't seen pictures of me, it's quite flattering because I always go, oh, you're not that fat. Right?
No.
But at sometimes, because it's such a running joke and the snack man and all this sort of stuff, sometimes I feel like I need to be fatter. So it doesn't help the diet when I can sit at home and go, well, the joke doesn't work if I put this ice cream away, does it?
Yeah.
So let's keep the joke going.
Oh, man.
Do
you ever get anyone mistaken for Pete
Malloy? Oh, just a bit. Yeah. We had, what about the other day?
Pete Malloy, Guy Grossi, the chef, Ches Bono.
You're a dickhead. Never Ches Bono. You know what though? Who was the other one the other day? Darren Hayes.
Darren Hayes.
Yeah, and he said, we're standing with me, goes, is your brother still in the industry as well, doing a bit of work? And I said, you think I'd be Malloy, don't you? And we, you're not. We're not. Yeah, I'm so sorry. I do it all the time. And I bumped into Mick the other day. And he said, mate, get out. We're not supposed to be in the same
place together. Is there a place for the two together?
Yeah. I think Chris would have thought, yeah. So, yeah, that's a tough one.
Now, we don't have much time left. Kathy, let's have another question or two if we can, please.
Another question from Twitter. Tim asks, are the days of the prank call over?
The radio prank call over. So, I'm not going to ask you to go directly into what
happens. No, that's fine.
Nurse, but
well, it's definitely changed the landscape of where things are, and you know, it's an absolute tragedy. And, you know, it's devastating what happened, and I think anybody in the industry thought to themselves, well, there was a bit of thank God that wasn't us, because you know, it was unpredictable, and the results are just shocking. So, yeah,
well, it's definitely changed the landscape. And look, and you know, we got asked this morning actually in another interview, you know, well, how long for? And you, I mean, there's no time limit on that, you know what I mean? Like, I definitely think at least minimum, you know, no one will be doing anything for the next couple of years, that's for sure. Because it is. People's emotions, you don't want to be playing with that. And that's why we've always, our show's always focused around self-deprecating ourselves. We've never, ever wanted to make anyone feel bad. You can never pick what's going to happen. But
and at the same time, ticking the right boxes as well. One, the permission thing, which is standard, and that's a law within the industry, which you know, part of the Privacy Act. And then you've got, a reveal to let the listeners know that the person thinks it's funny. You know, all of these sorts of things are crucial to it, and making sure that everybody is okay.
Yeah, for the record, we were complicit in you doing a prank here at my brother. You came in as to audition for some internship with Robin. I love it.
Well, that's the one that you set up.
Yes,
that's
right.
And at the end, I think I said, I want to kiss you. Frankly enough, you didn't want to make it happen.
No.
That's the one. Next time.
Is there anyone else?
Go use the stuff, man.
Kathy, do you have another question?
Travis wants to know how to break into radio.
I think what Whipper said before, Travis, the biggest thing that you have to practice in front of the mic is the biggest key to getting into radio. You've got to record demos, but if you can get into, if not regional, volunteer radio stations and just time behind the mic, it's the same as anything. It's the same as playing football. The more you practice, the better that you're going to get.
Yeah.
And the more that you do in front of the mic, keep updating your demos. And mate, just keep sending them out to radio stations, because one day, if you just get, people will get annoyed with you, but one day someone will go, sweet, this kid's good, and then, yep, there's your opportunity.
And what Timmy touched on before in terms of, working your way through different divisions within the game and moving to one another. And if you can just get a job at a radio station, that's the way.
Another thing as well with jobs, with your demo, try to do short breaks. So coming out of a song, you back announce a song, you do what's coming up, you may introduce a competition or something, and then get out, because that's what radio stations are looking for. They're not looking for people trying to make them laugh and being straight onto a breakfast show. They're looking for announcers in the afternoon, and then once you get into a radio station, you learn so much more, and then you can...
And I think at a demo, they always say you've got to try and impress within the first 8 seconds or something. That's how quick a program director can make a judgment on. So in terms of putting together a huge opener with music and sound effects and all that sort of stuff, keep it short, keep it simple, and get on and you're on.
Or,
don't make it too
or the other option is
send a photo.
Brendan Taylor, famous photo.
We are nearly out of time. I guess we should probably just cover off before we wrap up the show for this year. What else do we need to know about the show? What's going to be new this year?
It's going to be a big year this year, Timmy. There's a couple of things going on in our lives.
I'm going to be delivering the baby.
What?
Which is great news. I'm the only one that knows the sex for Fitzy's baby. Myself and the girl that did the ultrasound.
And I'm going to be marrying his missus.
No. I'll be doing that part.
So he's getting married. I'm having a child. Yeah, we've got quite a few things on this year. We've got some really big ideas that we're going to execute later on in the year. But we've got postcode payday starting next week. I'm going to try and replicate childbirth leading up to the birth of my child to help out my wife.
Yeah.
I want to be there for her.
You can do it. And did you say ask about the Logies?
Yes, I'm happy to ask about the Logies.
Yeah,
tell me about the Logies.
Well, I haven't been nominated yet, but I've got one line in Underbelly Squizzy. Look out for there.
Why don't you deliver it now to our Google hangout?
Too much away.
Go on, just do it.
All right. Picture me walking out of the steps of a court. That's Squizzy Taylor. His name is Leslie. Just say action, and I'll know to do
Brendan
it.
Taylor's ringing me on my phone. And action.
Mr. Leslie Taylor!
And cut.
So that's what we'll probably submit to the Logies. Breakthrough artist.
I don't think we can top that. That, I think, is where we should finish. Thank you, Kathy, for all of your questions.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kathy.
Thank you for seeing us. Good luck with the rest of the year.
Thanks very much.
Thanks for being here.
That was my chat with Fitzy and Whipper of Nova 96.9. Thanks very much for listening and stay tuned for more Mumbrellacast soon. I'm Tim Burrows. Toodle pip.